Isaiah chapter 11, I want you to turn there. Isaiah chapter 11. Some beautiful, beautiful things here we're going to see in the Word of God. We'll be preaching on the seven spirits of God. I've enjoyed this. I really have. And I've enjoyed just the study of it and the blessing of it. We started out last Sunday just kind of giving the overview of what the number seven means in the Scriptures. The seven horns that are on the Lamb, seven eyes, which represent the seven spirits of God. The Bible is purified seven times. There are seven spirits, and that's what we're dealing with, what we're looking at. And the Bible talks about the seven churches and the seven stars and the seven angels. And there's seven here and seven there, and it's just sevens everywhere, 7 days in a week. And it just seems like it's God's plan for perfection, God's plan for completion. And we were looking at this because what we find out in the Scripture is that we see that Christ is the one who bears these seven spirits of God. We see that in Revelation chapter 5. We see it in other places in the Bible. Well, we know Christ bore the Holy Spirit, and He gave it to His disciples. He gives it to us as His people. When we are saved, we have the Holy Ghost. We have the Spirit of God's Son dwelling inside of us, and that's how you know that God is not just some strange spirit being way billions and billions of years away. We call Him Abba, which means Papa or Daddy or whatever you want to, but it's a personal call out to God, who is now our Father because we have been born again. These spirits that we see here in Isaiah chapter 11, when God blesses you and God saves you and God puts His Spirit in you, these things will be manifested in your life. Some might say, well, what do I have to do to get these spirits in operation? You don't do anything to get God's Spirit in operation. God knows how to operate. He don't need us to show Him how to do it. He already knows how to do it. So just kind of bear that in mind as we roll through the Scriptures. All right, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That's the first one. The Spirit of wisdom, that's the second one. Spirit of understanding, that's the third. Spirit of counsel, that's the fourth. And might, that's five, yeah. And six, the Spirit of knowledge. And seven, and of the fear of the Lord. There they are listed right there. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And as we go through these seven spirits, we know that Jesus has them. We know, therefore, His Word will have them manifested in His Word. But we ask the question, how is it that I can endure the things that I endure in life? How is it, and we're going to honor some ladies this week that I think are worthy of honor because they followed the Lord. How is it that Sister Waymire stood for the Lord all those years, 90, 95, 96 years old, she finally let God take her, or God just said, here, I'm coming to get you. But God helped her stand for the Lord all these years. Could she have done it in the power of her own strength, her own might? Any of us know that she was just a small woman? I was stunned at the hospital. They said, how tall is she? Somebody said, 4 feet. And I went, what? 4 feet tall. That's as tall as a sheet of drywall standing up. Okay? That's not very big. We know that her frame wasn't very big, but the Spirit of God that was in her was bigger than anything in this world. Let me hear you say amen. So truly, truly, when you stand for the Lord and you stand for the Bible and you stand for the grace that God has given us, when something happens and you go through it and you make it to the other side, truly and surely, those of us who are born again and have that Spirit of God in us, we recognize and realize that we did not get through this in the power of our own might, nor in the power of our own strength. It was the Spirit of God that brought us through these things. Somebody say amen. So this is what these spirits will cause you to do. You could go to some churches around and you could see all kinds of weird manifestations. People barking like animals. People laughing uncontrollably. Controllably acting like drunks in the church, falling down as if they were dead, speaking in all kinds of things that we have no idea what they're saying. You could say that and people would say, oh, that's the evidence of the Holy Spirit in their life. No, it's not. No, it's not. The evidence of the Spirit of the Lord being in you is these things that we are studying from our Bibles. This is the evidence. This is how you know that you have the Spirit of the Lord. And this is how other people can see it in you, that you have the Spirit. I'll be honest with you. I don't think lost people are impressed with people rolling around on the floor laughing uncontrollably in a church service. I don't think people are impressed, but I think they're going, "Boy, if that's it, I don't want anything to do with that." Amen. But they will see something different inside of the believer, because it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And then when it turns to your testimony, when someone comes up to you after they know you've gone through some major crisis in your life, some trying time or tribulation in your life, and they ask you, "How did you ever get through this?" You're not going to tell them, "Well, a bottle of Jack Daniels helped me." You're not going to tell them that. You're not going to tell them, "Well, I've been ready for this for a long time. I'm prepared for it and I handled it pretty good." You're not going to tell them that. You're going to say, "If it wasn't for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, I would have fallen like a house of cards." That's what you're going to tell them. And your testimony is going to be real to them. And they're going to know that it wasn't you. It was the Holy Spirit of God living on the inside of you. So last Sunday morning we dealt with these seven spirits of God. We talked about Samson, who had, and it's interesting to me, Christ has seven horns in his head, which are the seven spirits of God. And Samson was a picture of that, and he had seven locks in his head. I want you to take your Bible and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 10, if you would. I'm going to put these up on the screen. Maybe somebody want to follow along that way, or just however you want to do it. I always want to encourage you, even if I put verses up on the screen, I want you to turn in your Bibles if you can. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6. And really, it's not hard to preach a message like this. You just look for places where the Bible talked the Spirit of the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6. "What will the Spirit of the Lord do for you?" Well, we saw in the case of Samson, the Spirit of the Lord being upon you and coming upon you will give you power to destroy your enemies. It'll give you power to destroy the lion who is out trying to destroy you. It'll be, and by the way, Samson's power was not in his own power. The Bible says every time Samson did one of these mighty deeds, it was the Spirit of the Lord that came upon him and did that. And that is evidence in the fact that when Delilah cut those seven locks off of his head, his strength was gone. Now, if he had been somebody like Arnold Schwarzenegger or something like that, and he'd been lifting weights and taking steroids and all that stuff and had these great big massive muscles, if that would have been the case and that where his strength was, then what's cutting his hair got to do with it? But his strength wasn't in his arms. It wasn't in his, what do they call these? Pectorals? Something like that. Flab, I call it. It wasn't in that. It was the Holy Ghost of God. It was the Spirit of God that gave him his power to overcome his... By the way, it was the Spirit of God inside of Samson that when he's got his eyes poked out and they're making sport of him, it was the Spirit of God as Samson said, "Lord, let me die with the Philistines." And he pulled those two pillars in and he died. And the Bible says he defeated more of his enemies in his death than he did in his life. And I want to tell you something. Sister Waymire and Sister Aline, as hard as it was to hear the news that these people had died, listen, I want to tell you something. It was the Spirit of the Lord that took them from this world to that next one. Amen? Amen. Now watch this. Here's what happens. The Spirit of the Lord comes on you. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6, look at this. Look at what the Bible says. It's very simple. "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man." Listen, when the Spirit of the Lord, when God's Holy Spirit, by the way, His Spirit, His Word, Christ, they're all work together. They're one and the same. If you have any doubts as to whether the Spirit of God is in this place this morning, look down in your lap. If there's a Bible sitting there, that is, Jesus said, "My words are spirit. My words are life that I give to you." Jesus breathed upon his disciples and he said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." And let me tell you something. That it's the Spirit of the Lord that only has the ability to turn you into a different person than the one you used to be. Do you remember before you became a Christian? Do you remember the day before Christ came into you and changed you? Do you remember how you used to be? Look at how you are now and you say, well, it ain't much, but it's a lot better than what I used to be. And it kind of gets a little bit better every day. And what that is that you're learning to trust the Lord a little bit every day. You're learning not to lean on your own power and your own understanding. And you realize that you're a different person, not because you willed yourself to be, but because the Spirit of the Lord came upon you and turned you into another man. Amen. That's good preaching. By the way, it says in here that he said, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon thee, thou shalt prophesy. Those of you like me who just sort of get real nervous when it comes to maybe talking to a perfect stranger about the Lord or leaving a witness or a testimony with them, I have found that when God puts a spirit in you to say something, you say something. And all of a sudden you go, wow, that was really good. Where did that come from? Well, that came, listen, he said, the Spirit of the Lord come on you, you'll be able to prophesy. And what did Joel say in Joel chapter 2? He said, it shall come to pass that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall do what? Prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. Where do we get this power? We get it from the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his, watch this now, here it is, his word was in my tongue. We've mentioned this in Sunday school, but I think that, and I'm big on this, that whenever you're talking to somebody, I think you ought to let scripture just come out of your mouth. I think you ought to. What are we here to testify of? What are we here to testify of? What are we here to witness to lost people to? Our family members. What are we here for? And why did God save us and bring us into His kingdom? But for to be an example of Christ's people and to let God's word come out of our mouth. And the only way that can happen is by the Spirit of the Lord. You see, the reason why you would quote Bible verses to begin with is because the Spirit of the Lord came in you, and all of a sudden, Ron, you just believe the Bible. You believe what it says. And so you, when you believe in something, you don't have a problem sharing it with somebody because it is what you believe. Now, I can remember back in my days in school, junior high school, middle school, I may have been a little afraid to let other kids at school know that I was a Christian, that I went to church, and that Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, we was at church, revival meeting, we was at church. I may have been a little afraid to let maybe some of my other friends know that. Not totally afraid, but maybe a little. But the older I get, I'm a Christian. I'm not a Muslim. I'm not a Buddhist. I'm not a Jew. I'm not anything else. I'm a born-again, Bible-believing Christian. And I'm way past the age of caring about what you think about my religion. I mean, I want to tell you the truth in love. And I want to tell you, give the gospel to you. And I want you to know that I love you. And I care about you. I care about your soul. But if you think I'm worried about what I'm saying, that maybe, well, if I get caught, maybe somebody won't like me. If you're worried about that, I can't help you. I am what I am. God made me this way. God put His Spirit in me. And when I talk, Bible verses are going to come out of my mouth. How does that happen? It happens by the Spirit of the Lord. He takes His Word. What did God do with Jeremiah? God said, oh, Jeremiah, open your mouth. And He opened Jeremiah's mouth, and God took His Word and put it in Jeremiah's mouth. And He said, now, Jeremiah, you're going to speak for me. What did God do with Ezekiel? Ezekiel saw a roll. And it wasn't a crescent roll or a butter biscuit. It was a roll of a book. And God said, Ezekiel, take that roll of a book. And he took it and he said, eat it. And he ate it. And it was in his mouth, sweet as honey. When you read the Bible, it ought to be sweet. Amen. It's in his mouth, sweet as honey. He said, now I'm going to send you to your people. Now you're going to be able to preach. Why? Watch this now. You know what God did with Ezekiel? He put His Spirit in him. How did that happen? The book. You want the ability to witness, you want to be able to talk to people, you want the ability to be able to share the gospel with somebody, or even if it's just a long continuing process of you talking to somebody, every now and then they hear Bible verses come out of you. You want that ability? The Spirit of the Lord will give it to you. How does He give it to you? He's going to say, hey, open your mouth. I'm going to stick this in there. Then you're going to have the ability to do it. Can I hear you say amen? By the way, same thing happened with John in the book of Revelation. So we're seeing how the Spirit of the Lord works. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, turn there in your Bibles, verse 14. Watch this, Todd. This is one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible. This is about the third or fourth sermon I ever preached in my life. I preached out of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. If you know the story there in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, King Jehoshaphat, and I remember this story so well because I used to laugh every time I read the word Jehoshaphat. Jehosh is fat, all right? It's just, you know, for a little boy, that's funny. He said fat, that was funny. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, what happens? King Jehoshaphat, king over Judah and of the tribe, he's king over Jerusalem. He finds out that three armies are coming against him. The Edomites, the Moabites, and the Ammonites. Edom was from Esau that hated Jacob. Ammon and Moab were the two sons of Lot and his two daughters, the incestuous sons of Lot and his daughters. And these people were constantly the enemies of God's people. And here they are, three armies coming against them. And I don't know if you remember when I preached this, but those, you know what those three armies represent? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And listen to me. You know what occurred to Jehoshaphat? It occurred to Jehoshaphat that he couldn't defeat them. He had no power to stand against his enemies. I don't care how many Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer's books you read. Why do I pick on them so much? They're giving you a false gospel. They're trying to tell you that if you think the right thoughts, then that's going to make you a better person. We're incapable of thinking the right thought. Bible says the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's what my thoughts do not impress God. Jesus said, which one of you, just by thinking, could add a stature to your height? Just by thinking it. If you listen to Joel and Joyce long enough, they'll have you thinking that you can grow a foot, that you can grow an inch, that you can grow a big bank account, that you can grow health, that you can grow all these things or do all these things by simply thinking the right thoughts. That is, as we refer to it, hogwash. It's nothing but making dirty pigs, keeping them dirty. It's all that is. We don't think. We have no power to control. Let me just make it simple. We have no ability to control even our own thoughts most of the time. Try not having emotions. Try not having depression when things around you are going bad. Try not having worry. And I'm not talking about what you display on the outside, that false face that you give to everybody. I'm not worried about it. Praise God. I'm happy. Down deep inside, you're scared to death. You're trembling. But you've been told that if you just put on a happy face, everything will go away. It doesn't work that way, and we know it. Try controlling covetousness. We look at things in this world, somebody's car, somebody's house, somebody's gun, somebody's lakefront property, somebody's wife. We look at things in this world and it's the immediate response of our brain, I want that. That's what comes out of us. That's how we're defiled. That comes out of us, and we're defiled by those things. We, as human beings, as flesh and blood, have no power to stand against lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. It's like trying to tell yourself when you've skipped breakfast, and it's about 10:30, 11 o'clock in the day, and you're starving, you're hungry, you can't wait till lunchtime. It's like telling yourself, I'm not hungry anymore. There, it worked. Can't do it. Can't do it. Have you ever fasted? Anybody in here ever fasted for the Lord? Dealing with issues in life? When we had a daycare here, and it always worked out every time I'd want to fast, they'd make meatloaf and mashed potatoes and gravy downstairs. And that was one of my favorite things. Okay? And I'm just going, okay, that's not fair. And you know what I would do? I would struggle all day long in fasting. But you know what it was? With God's help, I was telling my flesh, no! Today's not your day. That's what fasting is all about, by the way. It's telling your flesh, no. You don't get the attention today. God's Spirit gets the attention today. How is it we're able to deny the works of the flesh? By God's Spirit in us. So Jehoshaphat had these three armies coming against him. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. It's hard to not be proud of certain things. I've got a little arrogant nature in me that I fight off a lot. Sometimes it comes out. I hate it. I hate myself when I'm that way. I hate thinking that way and feeling that way. And I try to escape it. I try to get around it. It just, there it is again. So Jehoshaphat realized what that was all about. He realized it. So what he did was, they went to God. God, we can't fight this battle. We can't do it. God, we're going to get killed. We're going to be destroyed. You remember when you got saved, John? Remember that day? Remember that day you came to the Lord? That day that you came to the Lord, you surrendered and said, God, I can't do this. I said that I would go to church when I got my life straightened out. I haven't got my life straightened out yet. God, I can't do it. And that's what happened. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 14, watch this now. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord. Here's what the Spirit of the Lord will do for you. In the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And what I'm telling you is, when the Spirit of the Lord comes on you, you read this Bible, you realize that not only is the battle not yours, but God's, but it's already been fought and won. Amen. The devil's already been defeated. Death has been conquered. Sins that have been in your life have been conquered. And yes, you may not ever escape in this body the ravages of sin and the temptation of sin. But one of these days, because the battle's already been fought and won, God's going to take you from here. He's going to leave this body here with all the stupid stuff in it. He's going to take you home. Somebody say amen. That's what you'll get when you get the Spirit of God in you. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19. Bible says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and His glory from the rising of the sun. By the way, you know what? Can I throw this in? Here's Israel. Where are we on a map pertinent to Israel? West. And if you follow the progression, I don't know why God did this. But when the gospel started being preached there in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, they went scattered everywhere. Paul wanted to go to Asia. Do you remember that? He wanted to go to Asia. God wouldn't let him. Instead of Paul going east, which way did he go? West toward Rome. And then it spread west over into Western Europe. And eventually, they got on boats and ships and came over here and settled this land with a Bible in their hand. And he said, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. I looked up that word and all that, whatever you think it probably means, it does mean that. A standard is like a rule or a guideline that you and I, that we choose to live by. I have standards in my life. I have guidelines that I try to follow and keep. I have standards and guidelines that I try to instill in my family and in my home. We have standards here in this church. We have rules and guidelines that we follow. And we're really not interested in changing those standards or those issues. Let me give you another part of this. Back up here on the stage here is the flag of the United States of America. This is my country. This is the land of my birth, the land of my nativity. I love other people in other nations. I've been there preaching to them. But that represents my country. I don't think that any one of us in here is looking to replace that flag, let's say, with the United Nations flag. Amen. Or a North Korean flag. Amen. That is our standard. And the real meaning of the word was that as the Israelites, when they camped in the wilderness, when they took off, God had an order and a place for every one of them to be in. They all had to get in their spot in line. There's like kindergarten kids. Okay? And I guarantee you, Dan was always jealous at Judah because Judah always got to go first. Okay? But here they are. And when they're walking around in going into the promised land, they're holding a standard. It was a flag bearing some sort of insignia. We don't really know what it was. Some sort of sign or insignia about who they were and what they stood for and what they represented, what family they had come from. Let me tell you something. Let me make this real short. I think we got rain out there. I don't know what exactly is going on. But anyway, let me cut to the chase to you. You have to have a standard in your life. I think in America there should be rules and guidelines and standards. Can I hear you say amen? The Constitution is supposed to be that for us. If our leaders on both sides of the White House, both sides of Congress, if our leaders will not take up the standard, then it is up to the citizens of this country to take that standard up. In the old wars, Civil War, Revolutionary War, the most prized possession that an army had was what? The flag. The flag. If a soldier on the battlefield carrying that banner, if those guys saw that flag drop, they knew they was in trouble. Somebody would always run, pick up that standard, and hold it back high again and say, "Boys, let's go! This is for America! This is for our children! Follow the standard!" You can't do that. You cannot do that in this world except the Spirit of the Lord come upon you. And when things come against you, here's what God's going to do. He said the Spirit of the Lord is going to come. He's going to lift up a standard. I believe in standards. I believe in medicine. There are standards. If someone is supposed to take this certain dose of this medicine, the standards are that's how much should be. Doctors look in books and they see this person weighs 200 pounds. They should get 20 cc's of this medicine and no more. Am I saying that right? You understand that? And if it says it over here in a hospital in California, then it's the same one in New York. It's the same standard no matter where you go. Does that make sense? D, you work in electricity. There are standards in electricity. Am I right? Certain wires will only hold certain amount of amps and voltage and watts and killing power. Okay? Anyway, there are standards in electricity. There are standards in construction. Right, Matthew? Standards in construction. Guy asked for a pre-cut. They all know what that is. It's a board cut. It's less than 8 feet. It's designed to go inside the header and the footer in a wall. And everybody knows that. I mentioned Sister Waymire, drywall is 4 feet wide, period. There is no 4 foot, 0.2-inch drywall anywhere. One company doesn't make it different than the other. They all follow the same standard. And if they don't, there's going to be problems. I have a standard right here. Amen. I was taught this standard. I was raised on this standard. This standard was preached out of this pulpit all my childhood. Sister Waymire, Sister Eileen, Brother Waymire, Brother Estes, and all of those men who helped build this church said, "This is the standard right here. This is the Word of God. This is what we stand on. This is what we believe." At one time, God, I am sorry for this every day that I live. At one time, I was going to bring in a different standard into this church. be like me coming in here with the United Nations flag saying, well, we're taking over. That won't go well, will it? No way, Jose. We're not going to bring in another standard. And the only way that you can know that this book is right, you have to get it the way I got it. God's got to say, Mike, here it is right here. Here's your standard. You run with it. I don't care how many mistakes you think you can find in my Bible and then try to give them to me. This is my standard. And I'm not changing it. I'm not changing it for you. I'm not changing it for anybody else. And the only way that I could have done that, the only way that I could be standing on it now was the Spirit of the Lord came upon me and said, Mike, this is the standard. I'm going to lift up a standard against all your enemies. And what time I was in trouble, God lifted the standard. What time I am afraid now, God lifted the standard. God puts His Spirit on you. You get the Spirit of the Lord, He'll lift up the standard for you. And this will be your book. Amen? I want us to bow our heads in a word of prayer. You ponder what God's dealt with you about this morning. Maybe this has just been one big amen sermon for you. I enjoyed it. I got a lot out of it. You say, how's that possible, Mike? It's just the Lord just helped me. It helps me reaffirm things that I say I believe in, things I stand on. And I'm going to ask God this morning that He speak to your heart, that He touch you. Maybe there's somebody out there, you haven't settled on the standard yet. I don't want to be your enemy. I want to be your friend. I want to tell you that these things come not by scientific studies and manuscript analysis. They come by the Spirit of the Lord. And when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you just know it. You believe it. Young lady, I'd never get over her testimony from Germany. She came to America as an exchange student. She got saved. She stood up and testified. When I was in Germany, I believed in evolution. The day I got saved, I read Genesis 1 and believed every word of it. That's the Spirit of the Lord. And I want to say this to you. I don't doubt but what there's people, maybe even sitting here today, but I know probably in the group that's watching, you have your doubts every now and then. You're not sure. I've been there. I have been there. Since God dealt with me about the Bible issue, I've had my doubts before. Every time. God put His Spirit on me, the Spirit of the Lord. And He said, Mike, this is the standard. This is it right here. So if you're in doubt this morning, just ask God. God, show me where your word is. Show me where the Bible is. Show me if it's right in everything that it says. And I'll trust that.